Hi Gary, it's Nick. How are you doing?
Good, thank you.
Brilliant. Thanks for coming on today. Very interested to hear about, what you do and who you are. When did you become CEO of the Worcestershire Local Enterprise Partnership?
I started in 2011. There was something called the Bonfire of the Quangos. The coalition government came in and they basically got rid of what was the regional development agencies and in the West Midlands, Advantage West Midlands. They created the local enterprise partnerships. In the partnership, we've got all the local governments, all the local councils, business and further education and higher education. And really our role is to create the strategy for Worcestershire to grow and develop the economy.
Yeah.
So we've really had to have a sort of 20-year plan to where we're going, but also winning cash from the government.
Yes. Has it changed since the Tories have become, since they've had a majority? Has anything changed in funding or?
So since 2015 and beyond, obviously there's been a lot of kind of national focus on things like EU exit, Brexit. There's obviously COVID at the moment.
Yes.
Meaning that obviously plans have had to change. I mean, and adapt really. We've really set that kind of long-term vision, which is really helpful because it allows a lot of the partners then to play and contribute. We've invested over £71 million in capital, which has gone in sort of infrastructure and improving the sort of learning places.
Yeah.
But we've also done a lot on business support and supporting businesses to grow and develop.
Right. In terms of you have some goals, which are to create 25,000 jobs, to increase the gross value of Worcestershire as a whole. How was that going up until COVID, for example, or even as well as before Brexit? How was that going and how has it changed since?
Up until COVID, we were at 30,000 jobs at a 2025 target. So
wow.
Worcestershire economy was performing really, really well.
Yeah.
We also had a target of creating sort of a number of homes, and that was on target as well. There'd been a build out of 11,000 houses, and what's called GDP, which is the measure of the size of the economy, we were on target to grow the economy by a third.
Wow.
But Brexit hadn't really made an impact on that yet, because I suppose we were still in transition and, in theory, as we speak today, still just about in negotiations.
Yes.
So that hasn't really, it has started to have an impact, but not a huge one, with lots of people waiting to see what happens with that. What COVID's done is basically we're seeing claimant count sort of nearly double, and youth unemployment go from something like 5.4% in Worcestershire to about 9%.
Yeah.
And and the furlough scheme's about to unwind. So, yeah, our sort of, we've now got a sort of long-term vision up to 2040, with a kind of economic recovery plan over the next 3 years.
Yeah. Okay, that's good. One of the fascinating things about what you do, I love enterprise, pretty much why I started the podcast. But obviously when something like this happens, like COVID happens, and you hear bad news about businesses closing, unemployment, lack of opportunity, it's affected you in the sense that you've got a 2040 vision. How has that impacted? Does it make it more difficult to create new jobs in the future or new opportunities that come out of this? Is it doom and gloom or can you see green shoots in the future?
I mean, if you listen to the national news, I think it's often doom and gloom.
And, yeah.
And we sort of, you can get quickly depressed. But we've done a survey with our partners of the sort of local business community and we were finding that over sort of 5% were actually in kind of rapid growth, 20% were actually growing during this period.
Brilliant, yeah.
So it's as per usual, it's not the case that it affects every industry or every sector the same. I mean, yeah, the hospitality sector and the sort of nighttime economy sector around the county is like the nationals, it's really struggling. Obviously,
yeah.
Retail as well, particularly high street retail. Of course, retailers that have then got an online offering are actually, a lot of sales have shifted to that, and you can then see the sort of jobs that are coming through around distribution and care that create the new kind of development. I think the other thing that the local enterprise partnership is trying to do is we've created something called Beta-Den, which is a technology accelerator. So we're taking entrepreneurs' ideas and really try to commercialise those.
Okay.
So we have an eye to the new economy and what's coming. And I think, you know, there are two waves that are coming. One is digitalisation,
yeah,
that probably COVID's accelerated, and the other is obviously net carbon and climate change. That sort of agenda has not changed at all in this economic crisis that we're in now.
Yeah. No, those two points that you make are very interesting. Obviously, digitalisation, I've been speaking with a lot of the people that have come on the podcast. We've talked about it. You know, just the not having to be in the office, not wanting to be in the office, having more freedom. So that's an amazing transformation in the last, you know, 6 to 9 months. But I've also spoken to a few people about, you know, becoming carbon neutral and climate change. So these are definitely something that they're both growing facets of business then, you think?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, video conferencing's been there for years.
Mm.
But it's only when COVID comes and we all have to work from home, suddenly we realise the benefits of the technology. Something like Teams or Zoom has seen about at least 20 updates.
Yes.
And also businesses have found a different way of doing things because of the social distancing. You know, they can't actually go back into the office and use the capacity that they were using. So even where businesses are part returned, it's not necessarily all the staff or it's on a rota. So you can definitely see the way that we work changing. And that's probably quite interesting for a place like Worcestershire. So people who perhaps were commuting into Birmingham, Bristol or even London.
Yeah.
You know, actually, they're not doing that now, but they need somewhere to work. Not everyone has got a loft space or a kitchen table that, you know, becomes really comfortable.
Yeah.
So what we can see is, I think the office will come back, but it will change. You may only be there 2-3 days a week. And so all those kind of things start to factor into when you're then planning a local economy, because suddenly it's not about, you know, attracting a big, large, say, office-based employer who will come in and employ 500 people.
Yeah.
Actually, you're going to see much, much kind of smaller numbers, and they could be working in a whole different load of companies. And how do you get them to talk to each other? So those are some of the things that we're starting to think about over the next 3 to 5 years.
Yes.
That really, the way we work will change. And I think, but that can be as exciting as where we were before.
Yeah, definitely. How has it affected things like Worcester Parkway? Because I understand that was a massive build and a massive opportunity for locally. Has that changed anything? Has that changed any desire for?
It's meant the funding model's a bit more interesting, but nevertheless, the funding model was always a 25-year funding model based on car parking, and obviously, you know, we're seeing the trains come back, we're seeing those services, we are seeing travellers on the rail service.
Yeah,
but obviously the gains were not just Parkway Station. We needed to double the line in places between here and Oxford, which would improve the timetable and therefore travel time to London from Worcester.
Yeah.
But also we're working with partners to look at the service between Bristol, Worcester, Gloucester, Cheltenham, Birmingham. Probably
yeah.
A long way there, but you get the idea of the
yeah,
line.
Yeah, there's some good links.
About.
Yeah,
and actually then further afield. So really, what Parkway does is it puts Worcestershire on the national, you know, rail infrastructure and makes a really big difference to the county. It becomes a place that is easier to visit. It becomes a place that people can look at. It also becomes a place that people can jump on the train and get to those other parts of the UK without having to drive, and it really does come to then the heart of the strategy around kind of that carbon neutrality.
Yeah, and that's good how that ties in. Yeah, I mean, I moved to Worcester maybe about, I don't know, five to seven years ago, and I've always loved Worcester. It's really good to see it becoming, I guess, more prominent now, because some of the big cities such as London are less attractive now since COVID, aren't they? They do seem to be more people moving into the suburbs and away from London as well. So obviously there's an opportunity to, you know, to get that talent and grow the talent here.
I think lots of people who are in London offices are kind of reviewing that. You know, they've got those challenges that we were previously talking about. You can see that, yeah, whether it's, you know, sort of the successes that Birmingham had, that, you know, it was fantastic about bringing HSBC's headquarters into the city. I think that's probably, those kind of investments are probably gone in the next, certainly in the next foreseeable future. And it is more about these smaller businesses, and but also how people who work for larger businesses can work in different locations.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I've been looking on your website. I presume you do a lot of conferences, and these conferences have had to change because of COVID. Is this the first year you've done a completely online one?
Yes. Normally the conference, which we do once a year, is has sort of attendance about 500-600. And we were due to do one in March. We were booked in at the university, and then sort of early March, we kind of twigged that, hang on a minute, this might go wrong. We managed to do a skills show with 5,000 young people in Worcestershire, which was a physical event, but I think we realised that would be the last event. It's taken us a bit of time working on the economic recovery stuff to come back out. But yeah. Essentially, last week, and available on YouTube from kind of next week, will be the sort of virtual conference. If you missed it, if you managed to tune in, it was very much a different format, but I think worked well because we covered 5 hours of kind of content of the things that the NEP and its partners have been up to.
Right, yeah. Okay, I'm just looking through here. There seems to be a lot to be excited about here. You already spoke about the tech accelerator in Malvern. What are you sort of particularly looking forward to or enjoying at the moment in terms of enterprise?
We're a small team, but we get through quite a lot. So with BetaDen, we're about to launch the recruitment of Cohort 4. That's sort of up and coming. But also next, on the 3rd of November, we've got Tech Talk, which is looking at 5G and the Industry 4.0, which is the work we've done on the testbed. We're also then, a number of projects as part of the Getting Building Fund are starting to kick off. So where we're looking at sort of flood schemes in Tenbury, university expansion. So lots of capital investment. At the same time, Worcestershire Business Central, where you can go for all your business support and grant advice, you know, they're gearing up for a number of new initiatives that will be launched over the coming weeks.
Right, okay. It's really good to hear this, actually, because I don't really hear anything locally about what's happening in Worcestershire in terms of enterprise or new schemes. It does seem to be, you know, the negative and the shutting down of the high street, etc. So it's really good to hear these. If people are interested, what's the best way for people to contact you?
Yeah, so we do a monthly newsletter. Obviously, we're on social in terms of Twitter, LinkedIn. We're starting to build our Facebook account. Certainly, you can keep up to date through the website. You can contact us. And we're always interested to hear feedback or people, if they've got some views about a particular issue related to the economy, we're always interested to hear what people say. I can't always solve their problems, I would say, but I can listen and I can take things into account. So recently met a business who said that COVID's kind of increased their insurance. Again, nothing I can necessarily do about it, but we are a voice back to government because we are a tool of government at the end of the day. So we can feed in issues and current affairs related to businesses that they're finding that, like I said, I haven't necessarily got a solution, but we can take those up and start to work on solutions over a period of time.
Yeah, definitely. How does that, would you say, do you have anything that springs to mind, anything that particularly you've really enjoyed or, a real big success or an achievement that you've had in this kind of realm?
I think the 5G testbeds probably changed the perception of somewhere like Worcestershire.
Yeah.
Normally, you know, it would be the Manchesters, the Birmingham, Sheffield, and the big cities or the big universities, the Russell Group unis that really get engaged in these projects. And I think what we've managed to do, because we work across local government, business and sort of education, we were able to put a very constructive bid together, working with BT, Ericsson, O2, and really bringing, what does that new technology make a difference to our local companies? And obviously at this stage, it's been about Bosch, Mazak, and Kinetic have been engaged.
Yes,
but we're about to hopefully come out with an offering that will mean that other businesses can get involved and sort of identify how, you know, higher speed broadband can make a difference to their business, because it's not just about better internet connection.
No.
We've still got some challenges, and I think that's the trouble in the job, is you don't get a lot of time to kind of reflect on some of the successes. You get a lot of time to pick up on what's coming next. So certainly things like improving the mobile connectivity is something we're keen to work on. Again, not an easy task, but one that we're happy to take on.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, good. It seems like there's lots of different things cooking. Yeah, I'm glad, because there's been so much negative, as I said before. It's nice to hear things are still moving on, and, you know, they're not losing subsidies, and, you know, things aren't being canned and things like that. So I'm really pleased to hear that.
I mean, many of our businesses, particularly in the manufacturing sector and particularly in the food and drink sector, have sort of adapted and developing, you know, sort of slightly different customers or different business models. And I think it really goes, you know, I can kind of claim the credit for creating nearly 30,000 jobs over the last 5-10 years, but actually it's our businesses that create them. And I do think Worcestershire is a place that is very entrepreneurial but also quite shy.
Okay.
We don't
yeah.
necessarily like to put our front forward like maybe other areas of the country.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yorkshire does this very well.
Yeah.
You know, you can often hear a Yorkshireman in the room, or you can equally hear them extolling the virtues of their place. Cornwall does it well, and I think Worcestershire, we need to do a bit more of that.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. I understand what you mean. Yeah, there's a fine balance. But yeah, Worcester has a lot going for it. And yeah, I'm excited for the future. That's great. Thank you for your time today, Gary.
Thanks, Nick.
I think
it's
I've covered everything.
Chat.
Yeah, thank you very much. I'll put the links in the description. I'll send everything for you to okay before we go ahead. But yeah, thanks very much for your time. Good luck for the rest of 2020.
Well, yeah, and you.
Thank you. Take
thanks.
Care.
Bye.
Bye now.